This is the Quality News Network. U.S. nuclear officials have placed Syria on the nuclear watch list. A senior U.S. Nuclear official currently on a diplomatic visit to Rome said today that North Koreans were in Syria and that authorities in Damascus may have had contact with secret suppliers to obtain nuclear weapons. Syria's U.N. ambassador formally complained to the United Nations about an alleged raid by Israeli aircraft over its territory, saying Israeli fighter planes had dropped munitions after crossing Syrian frontier last week. A White House progress report on Iraq released today indicates that Iraqi leaders have made very little progress in stabilizing the country. Six Iraqi policemen have been killed, four others wounded at a security checkpoint in Mosul. They were ambushed by attackers in four cars earlier today. The supreme leader of Iran says President Bush will eventually be tried in an international court for the war in Iraq. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei accused the U.S. of invading Iraq in part to undermine Iran's Islamic system. An al-Qaeda-led group posted a video on the Internet showing the remains of a U.S. pilot killed in a crash last year, appealing to Americans to reject the policies of President Bush. The video was posted on a main Islamist website. Sudan's president today announced his government will agree to a ceasefire in the Darfur region when peace talks begin next month. NATO lawmakers say their forces in Afghanistan don't have enough troops or equipment to guarantee Afghan peace. Today's report indicates that troop shortages are hurting war operations amidst growing pressure on its allies to pull out. China's Supreme Court has ordered judges to hold back on imposing the death penalty. An order on its website said execution should be reserved for an extremely small number of serious offenders. The latest AP poll of the 2008 Republican presidential contest finds former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani with 24% support, followed by former Tennessee Senator and actor Fred Thompson at 19%. On the Democratic side in that poll, New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton leads with 34% support. Next is Illinois Senator Barack Obama with 20%, followed by former North Carolina Senator John Edwards at 10%. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news right after this message.
Behaving in a civil manner is the foundation of a civilized society. The Roman philosopher and emperor Marcus Aurelius said, "The happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. If you think in a civil tone, you will reflect civility to others." When we are civil, we aren't at war. We aren't fighting. When we are civil, there is no crime. When we are civil, we enrich the lives of all the people we meet. When we are civil, we are healthier and happier. The Russian author Leo Tolstoy wrote, "Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. It is our choice to be civil rather than hostile or aloof. Sharing our inherent goodness contributes to the common weal in a way that benefits not only our society, but ourselves, deeply, importantly, and eternally." For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Japan's first lunar probe was launched today. It will orbit the Earth twice and then travel to the moon. Japanese scientists say the $55 billion explorer, called Selene, embodies the most technically complex mission to the moon since the U.S. Apollo program. Verizon Wireless filed suit against federal regulators in an attempt to strike down new auction regulations. The rules would permit any device to use a portion of wireless airwaves. U.S. retail sales rose by a sluggish 0.3% last month, indicating that U.S. consumers are using more caution when they buy. The Wall Street Journal reports Goldman Sachs Global Alpha Hedge Fund fell nearly 23% last month. That's the worst performance posted in its 12-year history. TD Ameritrade announced today that contact information for more than 6 million of its customers was stolen. One of the brokerage's databases was hacked into. However, the company says that sensitive information such as Social Security numbers was not taken. Light sweet crude ended at $79.10 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. That's down 99 cents at this week's close of Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended up 17 points at 13,442. NASDAQ up 1 point at 2602. S&P 500 flat at 1484. There's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 41. We're now in the 40s of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold. That's my story, and I am sticking to it. But welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. And yes, indeed, if you are listening on a Friday evening at about 9 p.m., Eastern Time, and it is September 14. You are listening to a live show. You are more than welcome to call in. The telephone number for toll-free access is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. Or if you have a unlimited long-distance plan, you can use 304-658-5453. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the email during breaks. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you're going to find links to all of the guests and to the audio archives from those past shows. They're all indexed and filed by calendar date, and so you'll know which calendar date represents which guest. And folks seem to think that's an easier way to find us, and I think I'll keep doing it that way. I'm archiving the previous calendars there. It's pretty simple to use. I try to keep it as a one-page. And because that's about all I can handle is one page at a time. Don't make me drill. And let's see what else I need to tell you. Yes, you'll also find a link there to the Head On Radio Network main site, and there you're going to find out about all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, the schedules with the various guests. We are I think running live programs now at this point at least 12 hours a day. The others are pre-recorded. We have just tons of people listening, and a lot of people who are not listening with us now, they're actually listening later via podcast. So welcome to all of you. On the Strictly Confidential page, you'll also find a link to the MySpace page for Strictly Confidential, and you are welcome to stop by there. Covered the call-ins, covered the email. My goodness, what a great guest last night. And you know, I have so many thoughts about that. His name is Ernest Cole. And as all of you know who were listening last night, he started out as a Broadway child star. I mean, literally, he started out in South Pacific and Jacob's Rainbow Color Coat, I think it was called. He was in Godspell. All the big hits. I'm missing a million of them, but one though I'm not going to miss. He was in the Broadway production of Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he played Frankenfurter. He told us a story about the heels. My God, what a fun guest. I just was blown over. Thank you, Glenn Rivera, for pointing him out if you happen to be listening. I was a little awestruck when I found out exactly who this guy was. Started the show, I'm like, oh my God. I don't know what. I often wonder what the hell I'm doing here. But nonetheless, I was the one that was crazy enough in the room to take the job. That goes a long way, doesn't it? Let's see. There was something else I was going to tell you. Oh, yes, about the interview last night. Ernest was, he was very open, wasn't he, about very personal things. And I don't mean about being gay. That was the least of the things he was personal about his personal loss the feelings that he, when his partner passed away. His partner passed away, a year or so ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago. I found him dead with a heart attack. And they had been together, I think, about 14 years. And stories about his family and his partner's family and his partner's family trying to take over the house and the shoes and anything they could grab their hands on. And I just want to say, I know a lot of people were listening last night because they wanted, updates about Ernest's show dates and his upcoming performances, his upcoming CDs, and we talked about that a lot. But I just wanted to say that it was just so much appreciated to have that level of honesty. When you're a performer, you know, part of what you have to do is market yourself and promote yourself. That's just the way it goes. Hell, I've even had to do that doing this little radio show. I've had to get on MySpace and you know, you have to do networking and all this stuff. And it's just, what I do is so minor compared to what he has to do. So I realized that that was a significant thing that he did to break from that and to talk with us with such an open heart. And I hope everyone appreciates that. I did. I thought it was remarkable. So Ernest Cole, you'll find him at ErnestCole.com. That's ErnestKohl.com. What an amazing guest. By the way, we're going to have next week. I've decided, by the way, you know, I do music guests, and I do highly charged political guests and activists from all different walks. But I've decided the way I'm going to, when running music guests, because we're primary, I cannot resist running the music shows. And you guys like, I like them, and there's no way I'm not going to do music shows. In fact, I encourage them, but I'm going to start running the music shows once a week, which we haven't done more than one music show a week. So as we continue to do music shows, don't think I'm going to try to define a night for it, but I think that's probably the way we'll try to break it down. The other shows will be either a Just Us show, like it is tonight, because we've got so much to catch up on. Oh, by the way, I heard back from oh Lord, what is the and I don't have it in front of me. GLSDEN. It's a gays, lesbians, straights education. Lord, I wish I had the. Anyway, they're going to join us next week. This I think I may have told you a little bit about that. Next, they're in the process of forming gay straight alliances and grades 1 through 12 and attempting to do it in some pretty scary parts of the country there. In fact, the founder of the organization formed, I believe, the very first one. We'll know more about that. And also, we're going to try and get a student to be on the line. He's going to try to work that out. We're going to try to get a student to be on the line with the guest. And I think that'll be a wonderful opportunity for us to hear not only how this affects a student's life. You know, it can't be easy. The world's got a lot uglier since I went to school. I mean, I got minimal. You know, I didn't feel like I really fitted in. But it wasn't. Speaking of fitting in, we have sweetheart baby Kate on the line. Kate, please join us. Welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Well, hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me, Peter?
I can hear you fine. It's a little weak, but I have a big old volume control right here. I just turned you up. Where are you?
First off, I really can't hear you. I don't know what's the matter.
Okay, that would be on Agnes's end. If you can't hear me, Agnes will have to handle that. I can turn you up, but Agnes has to turn me up. Isn't that funny?
Yes. Anyway, let me just reach across the seat and close the window. Maybe that'll help. I am in Utah, north of Salt Lake City, finally.
Well, that's, I'd say what, Utah, north of Salt Lake City. So you're much more further, you're probably about in line with Atlanta as far as north and south is concerned relative to the Gulf Coast. Is that about right? Isn't that about Atlanta's height on the map? In other words, due west of Atlanta?
I'm probably a little farther north a little farther north, yeah. I'm almost to Idaho. I'm 100 miles from the Idaho border.
Are you driving?
So, am I driving?
No. Yeah, are you in the car driving now on a cell phone?
No. Lord, no. I don't talk on the phone when I'm driving.
Good.
Too dangerous. Anyway, I didn't get in on, how are you? I heard you saying something about promoting yourself, and you don't worry about that. We'll do that for you.
Honey, last night I had a star of stage, screen, and film, and Broadway, and disco, and record companies all over the planet, and a child movies, a child Broadway star. Oh, my stars. I'm just like, cool. You know, what can I tell you? Delightful guest. He shared a lot about himself and his music. His name is Ernest Cole. And
yeah.
And it was an interesting guest.
Yeah, good. Did you hear any more from the woman who's the executive director of the AIDS Foundation in Alabama, Mississippi? Amanda, was that her name?
No, I have not. Now, okay. Was I supposed to? Do I have an email address I'm supposed to contact? Because I'll tell you, I'll be quite honest with you. I talked again with one of the guests I had thought I had replied to today to tell him I was contacting him again because he hadn't replied. And then I realized, oh, I never replied to him. So, it gets a little confusing, but I do try to keep it all in one directory so I can find it. But, maybe I'm supposed to call her. I'm not sure.
I can email you her phone number, and because I have Verizon broadband now, I can do that. I will get her name to you again because I'm curious now that they've had another. I heard on the news last night on the Weather Channel on Sirius that a fellow was talking from someplace in Louisiana, I think, and he said they were pretty upset with the weather forecasters and the predictors and all those people that tell you what to do. He said the whole back blew off my gas station. I won't be pumping no gas no time soon.
Good Lord.
It was just supposed to rain. And I guess
that's true. They were talking about it supposed to be, and then the next thing I know, it's a disaster area.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the governor said there were some areas that they're calling a disaster area. Again, for real. I'm sure.
Well, after I heard that last night, I was listening to Mike on Sirius and at 10,000 feet in Utah. And I thought, oh, my God, there's going to be so much more work to do. I was just disheartened, and so I just turned the radio off and went to sleep. So it's going to be bad, and I haven't had the courage to call any of my friends down there and see what's up, who got wet, who got blown away, and who's died of a heart attack. You know, it's going to be awful. So I'm glad I have a couple, 3 weeks respite before I head down there. Since I didn't... Remember how you said you prepared for the show when you first started? You prepared for the show for like
I would
12
get up,
hours.
I would get up like at 6:30 or 7. And the first thing I would do is my feet would hit the floor and I'd start Googling for news. This went on all day, back and forth to the prayer, back and forth. And I was just obsessing. I've gotten considerably better now, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Is I have a little bit of, I still do this every day, of course, not that many hours, but I have I rarely get to everything all in one night, so I always have something left over from the next day to, I don't obsess so badly. Yeah.
Right. So I was thinking about you today because I've been driving all day, and I thought, God, I don't have anything to say tonight, and I was kind of going to do a little news from the road, this is what's happening on the road kind of thing, and nothing. I just have a few pieces of irony and the two funniest things and the prettiest thing I saw today. Blah, 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 blah. Until I got to mile 222 on northbound I-15 at a Flying J truck stop, which is kind of a local. It might be west of the Mississippi. Pretty famous truck stop. Good call.
Honey, tell me you didn't find a senator in the restroom doing the toe tap potty dance.
No, I didn't. I never even thought of that. No, actually.
Well, you did. Truck stop, hey, anything could happen.
I don't hang out in truck stops anymore except to get coffee, honey. That's been a long time ago. I looked up on the sign above the door, and it says Homeland Security Threat Level Today, and there's a big strip there with a color in it. It's yellow. And underneath it, it says See Cashier for Details.
You have got to be kidding me. No,
I couldn't believe it.
No.
I wrote it down, Peter. It's right here in front of me so I could repeat it right back to you. I laughed out loud, and I shut my journal, and I went inside, and I said to this little blonde, big, tall blonde, like maybe just out of high school or, 20-something, and I said, what do you tell people when they ask you about the Homeland Security sign? And she says, oh, I don't know. I said, well, what do you tell them? And she says, oh, I don't know. I don't even know what color it is. What is it? And I said, it's yellow. And she says, oh, well, that just kind of means. I said, why is it up there? Well, because just to be a note, don't notice your surroundings and stuff. I said, I've noticed my surroundings for 200 miles. What am I looking for? Well,
you. They're looking for you in a pickup truck with a chainsaw. That's what they're looking for.
And a pink Glock. Anyway, I said, what could possibly happen at mile 222 on northbound 15? And she says, well, you know, there are a lot of drivers from over there, and driving fuel trucks, and they could just put a bomb on it. And she just kind of shrugged, like, boom. And I said, oh, they're going to strap a bomb to a fuel truck in
the middle of nowhere.
And she just looks, she says, well, it's kind of not logic, but it's, you can kind of see the logic. And I said, it's convoluted. I guess I don't know. And I wanted to ask her, like, oh, the drivers from over there, where? Like Wyoming? And I didn't, but I didn't push it because I bet she couldn't say Iraq. She had her mouth.
Oh, you think that? Yeah, that, I bet that's what she was thinking. Yeah.
Well, she said we have drivers here from over there. Well, she's probably talking about the Sikh drivers from Canada who come down and they wear turbans, you know, they drive all over. I mean, they're up and, you know, and she's gotten them confused with Muslims and whatever. And so I was just kind of cajoling and trying to get out of this conversation without making an ass out of myself. And there's a guy behind me, a driver, he's kind of pushed me, he said, can I set this down? And I turned around and looked, and he's got sugar and grease and white flour and caffeine and nicotine all in his hand. I mean, a big, big old order of things to check out with his fuel. And I thought, Jesus, and he's getting in his truck, and he's crabby and ugly, and it's too hot, and his rig is not, and he's, I'm more afraid of him.
Well, that's a good point.
And while you were
exactly. And while you were talking, I was thinking to myself, a little fantasy time. I thought, you know, if we ran the world, we would have people checking for Colorado plates at all truck stops because they might be from Focus on the Family. That's how
I don't. I steer way clear of them. Yes, indeedy. You bet they are. And anybody with a Utah plate, you know, I bought a bag of ice today to ice down my cooler, and kid was parked next to me messing in his cooler getting the kids a Coke or a drink or something, and I said, you want some ice? I'm not going to use this. Yeah, sure. And I looked up, and he has a Mitt Romney 08 sticker on his truck, and I thought, oh, bless his little blonde head. He's gone over and done a mission and come home and married a little sweet little thing, and they had a bunch of babies, and now he's got a big old truck, and he's a Republican, and he's probably got a job he can just barely hang on to. But by God, they have family home evening, and they're going to go out and picnic this weekend, and bless his heart, and they're going to vote Republican. He doesn't even know, you know. So anyway, other news from the road, besides the fact that there's a bomb, suicide bomber alert in Utah. Well, I mean, that's what she was saying. They would strap a bomb to the truck and blow us something. I don't know. God.
Kate, you have to wonder. You have to wonder how long they've changed the color. How long it's been since they actually, you know, paid the attention. I mean, you know, I bet there's cobwebs on that thing, and they just, you know what I mean? It's everybody, even the people who pretend it's not a joke, they all know it's a joke.
Well, until you ask them, and then they kind of get this look in their eye like, and I need to cover the mic here and cough for a minute, if you would excuse me.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, thank you. So I drove to that was at 222, and I drove to mile 357 to the next Flying J through 139 miles of Metro Salt Lake City. The Utah goes on for 140 miles. It's all down the middle of the Wasatch Valley, the towns, one after the other, and they've all run together, and I haven't come through here in the daytime in a long time. And I thought, well, I'm just going to be courageous and just shoot the Wasatch in the daytime. And on Friday afternoon, this will take a lot of guts. And I'm going to sit in bumper to bumper. And as it turned out, I went 65 miles an hour all the way through Salt Lake City, a couple of little slowdowns. But I get up to mile 357, and I look at the sign over the door at the Flying J, and it says, Terror Alert, Homeland Security Alert, Orange.
Oh, good Lord. They're everywhere.
I said, boy, it was yellow at 222. So I went and got my ice, and I looked up over the other door, and the color strip is gone out of that one. So I asked this woman, young gal again, what are you supposed to tell people when they ask you about the color of Homeland Security threat? And she says, oh, we have a booklet over there. We give them that.
I said,
oh, my goodness. Okay. I said, well, how come it's orange here and it was yellow at mile 222? And she said, oh, I have no idea. It's been so long. I don't even know. And I said, there's no color over that door. Oh, really? Oh, well, I don't know. And so I told her what happened down there, and I said I wanted to ask her that there's drivers from over there, like where, Wyoming, and she laughed and goes, yeah, duh. And I said, you know, what are we scared of? I'm more scared of George Bush. And she said, yeah, really? And I thought, ooh, good. Another one bit the dust. So not everybody up here died in the wool, Bush crime family supporter. But you know what? I'm just babbling on here because what do you call it when you make your program up for the, when you, is it called the stack? When you make notes for your program? Is that what it's called in the business when you have programs?
I would have to ask Bob. I call it the blue and orange highlighter. I don't know what they really call it.
Oh, okay. Some business. Anyway, my stacks are all in my little journal, and I try to keep concise notes so I don't ramble on like I'm doing right now. What we really need to be worried about is the world being taken over by bugs, because I heard on BBC last night or two nights ago, not the world news, but some program that was on BBC. I was listening to Sirius, and they did a science report, and the forests up in British Columbia are being eaten by the bark beetle, like they are in northern Arizona. And what it is the beetle is a way of Mother Nature kind of cleansing the forest, kind of getting a haircut every year. They come in and they eat the bark and the tree dies, and it kind of keeps the natural thinning of the forest. Well, and the way it's balanced is that in the wintertime, it freezes hard, and the larva dies in the freeze, and then what, some of them are just, you know, there are only just a few that reproduce. I think this is the way this goes. Well, there's the climate change is causing the winters to stay so warm that the beetles don't get killed. The larva don't get killed. The beetles don't die. They just go to more trees and eat more trees. And it's happening up in northern Arizona. The Kaibab forest is almost decimated. And the reporter said that scientific evidence has shown that within 5 years, with the temperature staying as warm as it is every year, within 5 years, wait for this, 85% of the forest in British Columbia will be gone.
Good Lord, Kate. That's an astounding number.
Delaware, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts, I think, was the size of the area that the reporter gave in square miles or hectares or whatever they reported it in. 85% of the forest in British Columbia will be gone in 5 years. And I can attest to that. I was telling Bob yesterday I can't do gonzo reporting because I can't get out there and get all in it and get up in people's face. But I lived up in northern Arizona, and the bark beetle is just taking over and they can't. There's nothing that will kill it, you know, because it gouges down into the bark and just eats and eats and eats and eats and moves to another tree, and the trees turn down, and there you go. So,
Kate,
anyway,
in that part of the country, in the Pacific Northwest of Oregon, I live there, I know it for a fact, and I suspect Washington and British Columbia also, timber is a huge industry. So this is going to... And they're saying that global warming's not going to hurt us. The rich people will just have their, but it's getting pretty scary that it's coming down hard. As far as I'm concerned, I was just reading the other day that polar bears will be gone in 50 years. Period. Gone.
Yeah. So why are we worried about terrorists, Al Qaeda, all the people? I mean, people just don't understand what's going on around them, and it's pretty scary to me. Anyway, I thought that the irony is that we're worried about drivers from over there putting a bomb on their fuel truck at Flying J at mile 222 I-15 north. When the beaver was eating the goddamn forest, and we're just, oops, I said that. Mikey says, I said the GD word, I'm sorry.
I might say it before the night's over, too. I've got some stuff. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, you can dump me whenever you want. I talked to a law enforcement officer in Kane County in Utah, and he said, I said, how long have you been putting mannequins in your truck? And he laughed, and I said, they're doing it in Arizona too. Is the county so poor that you can't afford personnel? And he said, yeah, pretty poor. What they do is take an extra vehicle from the patrol. Tell me the word.
The highway patrol.
And
yeah.
The fleet. The sheriff's department takes one of their extra vehicles that they don't use. It doesn't run very well. Whatever. One of their older vehicles, and they have mannequins, and I don't know if they're full mannequins or if they're just from the waist up, but they put a mannequin at the wheel of the vehicle, of the patrol vehicle, and park it beside the road, and then when tourists and travelers come through, even locals, they don't know if that's the mannequin or if it's the real guy, and so they slow down in the little 35-mile-an-hour towns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, they're doing it down in Fredona, Arizona, too. And I said, yeah, I know. I went to the library one morning, and he was parked across the street, and I went out and waved. And he didn't even look at me, and he didn't even acknowledge me. And I drove by again and looked, and I saw that it was a mannequin. Boy, did I feel silly. But I said, isn't that kind of embarrassing that you're doing law enforcement with dummies? And he said, well...
Well, Kate, I wonder if they're hiring any GLBT dummies. I mean, you know, we might dress a little differently. It's worth it.
Yeah, the colors code is atrocious. I mean, it's this tan on tan thing with a little green trim, you know. I'd rather do blonde on beige on taupe on tan, you know. I mean, it would be at least with a little mauve scarf, you know.
Absolutely. And then we can bring our tea people in, the teas from our rainbow, and we could do a whole thing about there's no need to go there, but you know, and I just think why not give them hell? They're all good.
Yeah.
We're all going to be extinct anyway. We might as well have some fun on the way out.
They could wear fuchsia boas, huh?
Absolutely. By the way, a production chat tells me that, yes, those are in fact stacks. So now I know what these things are. So thank you.
Well, I try to keep my stacks in order so I don't ramble, and I try to make some sense, and I have no idea because I have to slip into yours or Bob's stream, and I have no idea what anybody's talking about. So I just come in and start talking off of the wall, you know, and I think, well, duh. And so for Bob and Agnes, I was going to call this morning when I come down off of the mountain, because I was out of service, out of range, except for Sirius. I was going to call from, first I was going to call in from Big Rock Candy Mountain. Yes, there is one. And then for Bob, I was going to call in, except I got caught in traffic. I was going to call in about 40 miles from Wales. I thought, ooh, that would be so cool. He's never gotten a call from Wales, I bet. And but it was a dirt road over there, and I thought, oh, it's not that important. It's more important than I get my butt back on the freeway and get out of here and get north. So anyway,
well,
it was.
If you're on Sirius, were you able to listen to Michelangelo today? Michelangelo Signorelli, he does it. I think it's Q109. I think it's channel 109 on chat.
No, I didn't. No.
I mean, on the well, it's. Oh, no. He had a guest, though. His guest was a fellow named Glenn Kessler, who wrote a book called The Confidant, Condoleezza Rice and the Creation of the Bush Legacy. And apparently Condi and her life made her big old lesbians.
Well, I'm kind of surprised.
Bless your heart.
They covered it all up by calling her the kitchen wife.
Is that it's so sneaky, because about the only way you can find out about, you see, they own the home together, and the only way you can find this stuff out is through property records. And so, and her friend, Well, in order to further conceal it, her friend, well, I'm calling, using the word friend, we, you know, her friend used, spelled her name R-A-N-D-Y, so at a casual glance, you'd think that Condoleezza was living with a man named Randy, but she's not. She's living with a woman named Randy with a Y. I'm just pointing out that was one way, because everybody knows that, you know, the county records, and in fact, they get a lot of people out of the military by doing that. SDLN was talking about that the other day. The Service Members Legal Defense Network was talking about that the other day. People who are serving in the military have to be very, very careful about buying a home together. That will trigger an investigation, and you're out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And it made me so furious that that bitch, you know, she's the number, she is the top well, you know, Bush and Cheney, you've got those, they're elected. But she is the top appointed person in the government, and she's right along with them in the closet. I just can't take it anymore, Kate. I can't take it anymore.
Secretary of State to Dyke. Where I go with that is that they can't being a female, being a lesbian is just another way of discounting and disregarding. They won't bring it up. Nobody will talk about it because we're not important. It's just one more marginalization. When the guys go off and do strange things, or they come out, or whatever, or they get outed, ooh, it's such a big deal because they're doing that with their penis? Oh, my God. But we are so inconsequential.
Well, you know, that's a good point. Look at Mary Cheney and Heather Poe. Now, it's, I mean, few people coughed over it. Few people had a sniffle. Few people quoted a verse. But all in all, there was no major insurrection.
No, because they're just women, for God's sake. What can they do? I mean, they can't even, you know, I mean, they can't even make a seat. I mean, they can't even, they had to go get sperm from someplace to have a baby, for God's sake. I mean, they're not even important. But men, what they do with their penis, now it's big news. Ooh, that's big news for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we're still talking about that guy from Idaho, I bet. I don't even know his name. But somebody has Condi been outed?
In effect, yes. This will probably die quietly as it always, because you see she's in with the in crowd. And by that I mean you've got Mary Cheney and Heather Poe, and for instance there's a fellow named Dybul, who's an openly gay man, and his partner. Condi did a speech today to welcome Dybul as the new global AIDS coordinator, and they were all hugging each other with Bush and Cheney. There was all like the happy family photographs, and you know, see, it's okay if you're a good homosexual, you're in with them, but if you're not, then they laugh at you when they go to the dinners and vote against you.
Wow, that's truly amazing. I swore I'd never do. When Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, we called him Dr. Kissinger, we called him Mr. Kissinger, we called him Secretary of State Kissinger, Secretary Kissinger. We never called him Henry or Hank, okay? Nobody calls that woman Dr. Rice. She's an absolutely brilliant academician and manager, and she was the dean of, or the head of the Stanford University or something, I don't know. Anyway, she's a brilliant, brilliant woman. And people demean her by calling her Condi or sleazy or whatever. I have never heard anybody call her Dr. Rice.
Well, you know, that is such a good point. Of course, Bush, though, he demeans everyone with that scooter and turd blossom. And so, you know, Bush has no clue anyway about respect. He grew up, but you're absolutely right. In the broader sense than George Bush, yes, nobody calls her that, not even the news. The news calls her Condi.
Nobody.
Right.
They call
even
her
if she is a, you know, a hypocrite.
Never. It just annoys me. I just think it's so demeaning, and it's just one more way of just disregarding the women. And I wonder how. Yeah, you're right. They're probably just going to cover this up, and anybody who tries to get to make a big issue out of it, they'll just get killed. Cheney will off them, and that'll be it. Like, is any more word out on the on the two young men who got killed in the vehicle accident, who wrote the big letter for the New York Times. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I have no clue. I called myself doing research today, but I have no clue. What do you know? Bob probably knows.
Well, it's okay. It doesn't matter. I mean, they were taken out. I mean, six other people died in the accident, and two detainees, and but they got killed, and the other
Why? You say it's
why?
A suicide.
Because they spoke out against the war, their active duty over there, but they never defamed or disgraced their uniform. They did it within.
I'm following you now. I wasn't following you at all. I was thinking this is a random act somewhere, you know, in the country. I wasn't following you that it was military.
Oh yeah. They were killed in country too. They were killed on the way back into Baghdad from something. I don't know. Mike had a big story about it for the last two nights, and I just wondered if there was any more on it. Whatever. And I wondered if Dr. Excuse me, I didn't mean to bump the mic. And I don't know if anybody's heard any more about Reverend Yearwood, the guy who got beat up by the Capitol Police and his leg broken.
That I read something about. And honestly, I used to read broader than I do now. And quite frankly, I miss a lot of news because I focus on stuff that really is directly somehow related to our, and I leave that because the other guy, we have somebody, you know, good people on the network. I don't want to be, you know, taking stuff.
Yeah,
you're right. You're so weak. And so sometimes I just go, what? I don't know.
No, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean that. I just thought maybe in passing you'd heard something. If a part more of the story broke, it would be something you'd have just picked up peripherally. I didn't mean that you should have been on top of the story.
Oh, no, ma'am. I know you didn't. They're telling me that both of the men were killed in Iraq this week, the active duty soldiers.
Yes.
Yeah. They had written an ad in the New York Times. Yeah.
Right. And they were killed in a vehicle accident, and six other people died in the accident.
Wow.
It's taking on the complexion of a Pat Tillman incident. So, anyway. It's all right. I just wondered anyway. So I have come to. I came this morning. I was standing on an overlook at Cedar Breaks down in southwest Utah at Cedar Breaks National Monument, and looking out over the vista at a 1,600-year-old bristlecone pine tree that grows out of the rocks in real sparse soil and hardly any water, and the wind blows all the time. It's sort of like looking down into Grand Canyon, and there's this one particular tree that's been noted that it's at least 1,600 years old. And in the southwest, I think it's in Arizona, there's some bristlecone pines that are 4,500 years old. And I was just waking up. It was sunrise, and I'm at 10,460 feet, and it was pretty chilly, and the wind is pretty brisk, blowing big, making noise in the trees. And I'm looking down into this most beautiful. Some of the most beautiful geology on the planet, bar none. I haven't been to the Himalayas, but they don't look like the Grand Canyon, nor Cedar Breaks. And so, anyway, I thought, you know, this puts everything in perspective. I'm not listening to any news. I'm just making my little stack of little incidental blah blah blah, so cutesy stuff from the road. And I thought, you know, with everything that's going on, and we're so scared, and Bush and the boys and the whole planet dying from testosterone poisoning, but they can't kill that tree down in that bowl, down in that, in those rocks.
Well, you're right, Kate. It's the little things that give us hope. And I tell you, we have Randy the trucker calling in another line. I bet he's got some more information about these. I mean, I don't know. They haven't told me why he's calling, but I just bet you we're going to find out more in just a minute about the yellow alerts at truck stops. I think you piqued his interest.
Can we front porch together with him?
I don't see why not. In fact, I was hoping you would say so. Agnes, can we bring Alan the trucker?
Agnes, hang on, honey. Oh, did we lose him?
I think we lost him. He was on hold for a while, so I think we may have lost him. But if he's still listening, he can call us back.
If you're still listening, dude, call back. I want to know about the... Where's he at in the country?
Agnes, do we know where Alan the trucker was? You can punch
in. Alan, yeah, he's back east. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, did I say Agnes the trucker?
No, you said Randy the trucker, and I thought...
Oh, I did?
We have,
why did I say...
Is Randy a boy or a girl?
No, Alan, let me see. My name is Peter, and
I'm Kate, and he's Alan, and he's
Alan
too.
Who the hell is... Did I say Ricky? I have
no
idea.
Randy. You said
Randy.
You said Randy. Uh-huh.
There's no Randy in my life or in these stacks of papers. I have no idea why I said Randy.
Except Walter Rice's lover.
Oh, that's Parker. Right. I was talking about Randy with a Y. Do you see how I'm losing it? Do you see how deeply I am losing
partner.
It?
Partner. Yeah.
Thank you for figuring it out. I would have wondered for at least an hour or two
Peter,
how the hell that
honey,
happened.
And Peter, you're really hard to figure.
We have Alan back. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We're doing fine. I'm so glad you got us back. I left you sitting on hold for a while, and I'm glad to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about that color sign at the Flying J truck stop.
Do you have Flying J? Alan, do you have Flying J east of the Mississippi too?
Yeah, there's east of the Mississippi also, and there's a new one down in South Alabama that has that colored sign for. Color code sign for Homeland Security. And I just thought that was so silly. I'm glad somebody finally brought it up. I meant to when I called before.
Did you go in and ask the cashier what's the security alert for today?
I'm sure I would have got a stupid answer if I did.
No doubt.
Did you hear the answer? Did you hear the answer she gave me?
Oh, yeah. I figured it'd be something like that.
We have drivers from over there. What? Over there, like Wyoming, you know? God. how many do they have them at every Flying J or just the new one in Alabama?
No, just the one in that new one I saw in Alabama. I guess all the new ones are going to have it now. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
I found out that Flying J truck stops, I heard that they shut some refineries down, or at least one refinery down, right after Katrina, and the purpose of shutting it down is to bring the oil prices up. And if that's true or not, I don't know. But our company has an account at Flying J, but I always avoid them, go to other truck stops.
We have Flying J's here in Florida, too, and... I've seen them in Georgia also. On the way to Atlanta, I've seen them. They're interesting because they're always huge. It's like a little mini mall, at least I haven't seen as many truck stops. Hell, I don't presume to be the authority, but they seem large to me.
Well, they started out, I think, as a little bitty homegrown Mormon company in Idaho. And now they've gotten way huge, and they do Conoco and... Who does your gas at the J's and back east, Alan? It's Conoco here.
Yeah, they usually have pretty good food.
Yeah, they do. They do. But I try to find Citgo stations wherever I can, because I give Hugo Chavez my money any day rather than these pigs. So.
I like that about Citgo. It means you're helping poor people out instead of wealthy people.
That's right. Well, Republicans always say, you're helping a dictator? And I said, no, I'm not helping our dictator. I'm helping the other dictator. But he gives money to the poor people. Our dictator doesn't. You know, so God, whatever. So, Alan, where are you at?
I'm down in San Antonio, Texas right now.
Where? San Antonio?
Yeah. Weather's not too hot here now, thank goodness.
And did it get any storm up in there? I've been listening to the Weather Channel, and they didn't act like it was going to be very windy or wet today.
Yeah, I went last night. I drove through Louisiana, Mississippi, and it was it was raining pretty hard through there. But it looks like I drove through it, so I got pretty lucky in that case.
Yeah.
Well, I have a jaw dropper for both you guys. I actually worked at a truck stop once. This was quite a while back in my history, but I actually worked at a truck stop. It was a locally owned. It's not a chain or anything. It was one at the in Leon County on I-10 at the County 59 exit near Tallahassee, called I forget the name of it. It's still there though. But I worked behind the counter there, processing the. I mean, truckers have to. They have all these unbelievably complicated credit card transactions through these. They're not like, you know, your regular. They're like through business. You have to use like different terminals, and there were all these different like gas services. It was so complicated. But you know, once you get your head wrapped around it, you can do it. But it's not easy for truckers to do anything, as far as I could tell, even buy fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have to ask
those places?
What?
Get in those pocket places is pretty tough too.
Ah, that too.
Peter, did you get to ask the driver, is he found the hub?
Who found the hub?
On the hub.
I'm so lost. Yeah, I know about hubs. No, I didn't talk to him on the hub. I guess I was just calling myself trying to, you know, learn as much about life as I could. So one of these days you guys are going to meet a horn radio host at a truck stop. I guarantee you it could happen. I mean, I'm living proof.
Oh, that would be fun.
We need more liberals on the CB radio.
Oh, Alan, some of the things you have, you call, and I think it's so cool that you're fighting them like that, but those people are just so hard-headed. I don't know how you keep from just ripping, tearing your hair out. It's got to be frustrating.
I know. I used to put a Kerry sticker in my car, in the window when I used to, before the last election. I think one guy tried to run me into a bridge column. People wouldn't wave at me like they usually do.
Yeah.
Ah.
I lived through it, though.
Well, I have seen incidents like that where a particular truck driver, if there's some sort of thing that goes down that they don't like, I completely take your word for it. They tried to force you into a bridge column. There's some pretty scary stuff that goes up, and I bet a lot of people end up dead. Nobody ever knows it.
Yeah
maybe so.
Yeah. I wanted to.
I guess I better get off the line. Sorry to interrupt you.
Alan, thank you so much for calling. Please
hey,
check
Alan.
In any time.
Okay. Hey, Alan. Alan?
Yes.
Where's your
yes.
home base?
Birmingham.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're heading back home?
Condoleezza Rice. Condoleezza Rice's hometown, too. You were talking about her.
Dr. Rice to you, honey.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Rice. I should have learned that from listening to you before. I apologize, sorry.
Are you heading home tonight, Alan? Alan, are you heading home tonight?
No, in a couple of nights, though, I will be.
Oh, okay.
A couple of days.
Keep it between the ditches, okay?
Okay. Nice talking to you, folks,
right.
And I'll be listening.
Bye, Alan.
Thank you, Alan. That was interesting. I don't think I would ever have imagined myself telling the horn audience I used to work at a truck stop, but you managed to you managed to make me do that. So.
Get it right out of you, Peter. If I know you long enough, I'll get to know more about you.
Oh, Lord.
It's probably we've talked way long time, about 45 minutes.
I need
to hang up and get... The sun has gone down, and so I can head north. It was too hot to drive in the with the sun going down on my arm and my neck and my face, and it was just too ugly. And it's Friday night traffic, and all the halves are out there with their boats and their hunting gear, and it's their quads on the back of their trailers and their horse trailers, and these guys are running around in these pajama things that are camouflage leaves and trees and grass and brown and beige and green.
We call them smoking jackets.
Smoking jackets?
Sure.
You go out and smoke a Bambi, huh? Oh,
I'm just...
damn, that's funny. so funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, okay. Everybody's running around in their smoking jammies, and they look so silly. And they got all these quads on these trailers, and they're all running up and down the road. And I think, oh, I wonder what they do for money. Oh God, it's pitiful. So anyway, the hunters and the travelers and the tourists and everybody are out, and they're all going somewhere on I-15, and I want to get out in the stream and ride along with them. So the sun's going down, and I'm about 150 miles from a rest area, but it's very, very cool. I love it there, so I'm going to camp tonight until the sun comes up. So I
will be careful. We can't afford to lose you. You're the only Kate we've got.
I was telling Agnes today, when you guys say, be careful, it's like when you, Bob says that to Alan, you be careful out there, and I think, why do you, like, Alan and I are going to go out and act a fool on the road and be crazy and do dumb stuff? No.
Yeah.
And what I've come to believe is that kind of like a little prayer is saying, I got your back, or you're in my light, or whatever, and people just shorten that by saying, be careful out there. Because, like, I know you don't think that I would not be careful. So, anyway, thank you for your concern. Anyway,
okay.
I'm out of here. I will. Oh, I have two more reasons. This, Bob might appreciate this. I have two more reasons to celebrate or commemorate 9/11, not just 01, but 9/11, because I don't particularly commemorate the bringing down of the towers. It's, you know, that's another editorial for another front porch. But I heard the other night that Bear Bryant and Tom Landry were both born on 9/11. And so every day, every year that 9/11 comes around, I can celebrate their birthdays rather than commemorate the loss of the Trade Towers. I think that's infinitely more important. Bear Bryant made a bigger impact on this culture than those people who flew those airplanes. Bob would agree to that.
Well Kate, are you in a hurry to leave? Because we have Jim on the line. We could have Jim join us. Would you like to talk with Jim? I know you know Jim.
Gentleman Jim?
Gentleman Jim. Of course. Jim, would you join us? Welcome to the show, Jim.
Breaker, breaker, 1-9. This is Tippy Toe calling Bumblebee. Over.
Oh, Jesus. We so deserve that. Oh, it's been so out of line.
Excuse me. I was barefoot Sister Kate when I was driving, Jim. So,
no problem. No problem. So I have something for both of you.
Okay, I was lumberjack. I have to admit, I was lumberjack. I was bad.
Did you
Peter, you're lying because your handle was Miss Thing. I heard you.
I heard you on radio all the time, Peter, Miss Thing.
Well, Miss Thing was covering it all up at the time, and she was...
And mine used to be Alexandra.
Well, I'm Cassandra, dude. Nobody listens to me.
Well, listen, go ahead, dear.
I wanted to thank you for you and Peter for talking about the Peter, what was the movie? Oh, Sunset Boulevard.
I had seen
the original way back probably 4 or 5 years after it came out. 6 years after it came out. And
I'm sorry.
Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I watched it again.
By the way, I am raised by close-up tonight.
Honey, you're going to get it.
I know you are. And listen, the line that stuck with me, I mean, I watched it twice in 3 days. It was so wonderful. And the line that stuck with me was, we didn't need dialogue. We had faces.
Oh, that was it. Twice.
Right. You know, and the other line of an old movie I saw, it's called Sodom and Gomorrah with Stuart Granger and Anouka May. And there's one line in that movie, I was just going to stitches over, and it says, beware of sodomite patrol.
Oh, how priceless.
Listen,
oh, honey,
they're all up and down
so
I-15 in Utah.
You got it.
Tell me, where are they patrolling tonight? I'll be right there.
Well, listen, I've got something I want to dedicate to both of you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Ready. I'm ready for your close-up.
Yes, we're doing that, too. We're doing the close-up during this segment, Jim. All right.
Times have changed, and we've often rewound the clock since the Puritans got a shock when they landed on Plymouth Rock. If today any shock they should try to stem, stand a landing on Plymouth Rock would land on them. In golden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes. Good authors, too, who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and day's night today, and most guys today, but then we prize today, are silly gigolos. And though I'm not a great romancer, I know that you're bound to answer when you propose. Anything goes.
Jim, congratulations, son. You did it, buddy. You busted out a show tune on Strictly Confidential. Brave God.
Listen, Cole Porter's birthday, June 11th, June 9th, should be a banking national holiday.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. I thought I shouldn't. Oh, Lord. I don't know who sounds worse, me or Edith Bouvier-Beale in that film called Grey Gardens, which is another one I want to recommend to you, Peter.
Okay, I've got finding my pencil. Grey Gardens, not Gay Gardens, but Grey Gardens.
Two relatives of Jacqueline Bouvier Onassis, or Kennedy Onassis. The mother and daughter live together in this old, dilapidated house on the Hamptons, and it shows them. It's a documentary. It's worth every minute of it to see those two. And Edie, the daughter, actually does her own song. She does a military toe tap using an old stereo with the VMI marching band. It is just too much to see, really. It is.
Oh.
I mean, you talked about Bizarre from Sunset Boulevard. This is the real thing. This is a documentary about a woman like that, practically.
My stars. I'm just, my mind is just reeling at the... at how bizarre this is, the hookup of we three all over the world. You know what I'm telling you? We have listeners in the Netherlands, and we all know about John in Australia. We have listeners in Japan. We have listeners all over the U.S. And God knows, and see, the thing about these shows are they go on forever. They're archived forever. People, you know, you just never know. Us three, how did, of all the bars in all the world.
I just feel like I've been put on Mayor, Voyager, and we're going into outer space, right? Or something. I've been in outer space for the past 10 years.
I have too, and it goes on and on and on and on, and it never, and sometimes it loops back on us, though, Jim. And we get slapped upside the head, and we go, oh, my God, where'd that come from? And then you think, I'll bet you that was 10 years ago. Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, I've got another story to tell you, a quick one, about a friend of mine who was a truck driver. You'll love this, Peter.
Great.
Well, this boy was a former student of mine. And as a former teacher, unlike doctors who can bury their mistakes, their teachers live forever. But he was a decent soul, and he was always trying to get his CDL, or his commercial driver's license. And in order to do that, he had to pass a drug test. And you'd have to go out to the adult bookstore to get this stuff called Test Clear by Zyandot.
Well,
and
Jim,
so he called me up one night, and he said, Jim, you won't go to the library? That's what he referred to the bookstore as, and in the back, of course, this place were peep shows. And I said, well, sure. And so we got all poked up. And, I mean, we were smoking everything but our shoes that night, honey. My God. And in my pocket, I found this little skyrocket called a Whistling Moon Traveler that makes a real thrill.
That's what they're calling them these days, Whistling Moon Travelers.
And so I went in the back in one of the booths and, put in a couple quarters, but I took a cigarette and broke the stick off and taped it in there, and with some chewing gum. And so I went back out front. Well, all of a sudden, about 2 or 3 minutes later, that thing goes off. Woo! Woo! and all those people back there watching those nasty movies came running out saying, somebody's got a gun. And this friend of mine that I had gone out there with said, just come on. My God, you can be dressed up, but I can't take you anywhere. You're an embarrassment to me. And then
folk
coming out of this place like you would not believe.
Good Lord. You know what? We're being rude, and I'll tell you why. Because another guest has arrived at the party. So, Kate and Jim, I'd like to introduce you to our dear friend Preston, who told us about Small Town Gay Bar. Welcome to the show, Preston.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Preston.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. It's
good
so good
Preston.
To hear you.
How are you?
Hey, Jim, I'm doing well, and I really appreciated the song. It was
well,
that Cole Porter,
tonight,
our rendition of Cole Porter?
Well, he's sort of an idol of mine, always has been. You know, it wasn't my time when he was that popular, but my parents enjoyed him tremendously, so I kind of grew up in a kind of a strange environment, you might say.
You might say, sorry.
Tortillas are still hanging. I want you to realize that, Peter.
The drapes are still hanging?
That's it. Nobody's had to go to get Captain Butler out of that horse jail in Atlanta. We haven't had to do that yet. We done paid the taxes on Tara.
Well, I could just see you running a big internet drape sale, honey.
Please go ahead.
Yes, Preston,
that's
please
okay.
save us.
You know, I can just barely hear Jim, actually. So
Agnes
I don't know
adjust.
If Agnes could do something
and
about that.
Listen, hey, there's something going on with my telephone because I'm getting a big feedback. I can hear my voice, and so my connection's all messed up. So I'm going to hang up and let you all talk among yourselves, okay?
Sure thing. Okay, Kate, thank you for that story about... the beetles in the trees, the same thing's going on here in Colorado. And
yes.
The way you phrased that about how the world's kind of being poisoned by testosterone, but still you see that little tree growing between the rocks, I really love that story.
Peter Brakes, it was 1,600 years old and 4,500 years old in Arizona. And the Republican pigs, ever since Bush and Reagan, I mean, they've done so much damage to the planet that, I mean, it's unbelievable, but just have, the Hopi grandmas say that our whole planet's ruined, and we're going to have to change, we're too late to change, and so
The Hopi grandmas, and I think the Mayan calendar is kind of foreseeing some sort of change.
They are.
I don't know. I think it could be, you know, just certainly not just an ending, but also a regeneration. I don't know if you've heard of that book, The World Without Us, but very interesting guy who talked about if there is a big die-off of a large part of the human population, he talks about how the Earth will be regenerating itself. And it was just fascinating. And he talked about how the interviewer asked him what parts of what humans made, what will really last, because he's talking about how cities will be overgrown with forests and the dams will be broken and the fish will be swimming freely again.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wondering what parts of what we build as humans, what will last? And he said one thing that will last a very long time is Machu Picchu, because it's such a brilliant feat of engineering. And I don't know. Fascinating stories. So
the other thing that will go on is the plastic, because there aren't any microbes that will eat the plastic.
That's right.
They asked him about that. Uh-huh.
And he said that there are actually like continent size rafts of plastic trash floating in parts of our oceans, killing all sorts of marine life. And but he does suspect, and he spoke with other scientists about this, that already there are microorganisms that are starting to process the stuff. It's still harming them, but they think they might evolve some sort of function that they can process it, and then more complex biological life forms in the future will be able to deal with it somehow. So right now it's a tragedy, and it's so disrespectful and
let me hop in. Suffering. Hop in right here for just a second. I need
sure.
to explain.
Peter.
There you are. Yes, I was going to explain. Jim. Jim is still with us. It's just that he wanted to jump in on the calendar thing, but Preston okay. couldn't hear him because we have connected. Jim is actually we cross. Jim is on the same channel as you are. I know that's
okay.
Don't worry about it. But the thing is that we can all accept that Jim and Preston can't talk at the same time or they can't hear each other. So I'm going to let Jim take over the Preston channel because Jim wanted to say something about the calendar, so I can hear everybody. So
great.
Jim, go ahead.
No, I've just finished a book recently entitled The Mayan Cosmogenesis, which deals with the Mayan calendar. And I think you might find it an interesting read, Preston. I really do. And the strange thing that destroyed those cities were they continually burned, used slash and burn techniques around their cities in order to make limestone, to put the white appearance on their buildings. And after a while, there were no more trees. And then, of course, the food supply was interrupted, and those huge cities that they had laboriously constructed had to be evacuated, and they left.
Do we know where they went?
No, they don't. They really don't. No, they just sort of, I guess, disappeared into the mist of time.
I guess somewhere in southern Mexico, and actually I heard some indigenous people are migrating here, and they were, like, working in our fast food restaurants at times. And
uh-huh.
I wonder
I had
if...
a...
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Kate, there you go. She's bringing you up, Kate.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Kate.
I had an acquaintance in Williams, Arizona, who was an Aztec from Oaxaca, and he was the manager of my apartment building, so there you go. I mean, he was just regal, just regal. But anyway, you guys, I'm sitting in the parking lot. It's getting later and later. I can't roll the windows down because the mosquitoes are out. I need to get rolling.
Okay, so, great. Well, happy traveling.
Thank you.
And I think of you when I listened to KGO last night. I listened to Caldera's, one of his callers, and thought, this poor young man really believes what he's saying. And I think of you every time I listen to that right-wing pap on KGO. But I thought, turn it off and think, well, I hope Preston heard that. He can cover that story for me. So anyway, you guys, I gotta go
okay.
make more. I gotta go chew along the dotted line. So
okay, drop me an email over the weekend if you can, Kate, just so we'll know you're in one piece.
Nice speaking with you, Kate.
Pardon me, Jim.
Buen viaje. Good travel. Good
yes, travel. And may there always be a road. I forget what the you'll forget.
May the rose ride to meet you, and the wind be at your back.
Yes. See. Okay, you guys, I'm out of here.
Good night.
Okay, bye, Kate.
Night, Bob. Oh. Night, Agnes.
Bye, Kate. Okay, we still have Jim and we have Preston. Unfortunately, you guys are on the same channel, but that's okay as long as you guys are talking. I can hear you both. See, I'm in the middle. But
okay.
So I'll referee.
You always have so much to offer when you get
to
please.
Speaking of channels, I was going to ask you all about CBs. Your previous caller, Alan, had mentioned CB communication going on and how he thought maybe there need to be more progressive voices out there, and it got me to thinking. Do people in cars use CBs, or do people in their homes use CBs, or is it mostly truckers? And how far is their range and stuff like that?
Well, Jim, do you want to take that, or I could take it?
You take it, because I haven't seen a CB radio in, God, 20 years.
Well, you don't see them often. And the thing is, Preston, is that most general passenger cars they're all on their cell phones, because interstates are lined with the cell towers now, so pretty much it's a local call anywhere in the country as long as you're on the interstate. But truckers have cell phones too, of course, but they also have the CBs. And the rated output is supposed to be 5 watts for it to be legal, and you can get like anywhere from 2 to maybe 3 or 4 miles, 5 miles, I think they pretend. But, you know, a couple of miles, you know, up and down. And so people are constantly coming in. But some truckers use something called a linear amplifier, which boosts the power tremendously, and they can go like, you know, I don't know, what, 10, 20 miles? Who knows how big those linears are. So my understanding is that I didn't really realize this so recently, is that truckers continue to use them because they're like a community. You know what I mean? They share information about truck stops and what's going on traffic-wise that you can't do on a cell phone because you can't call everybody. Whereas on a CB, everybody's right. It's one channel. Like you and Jeff are like CB tonight, right?
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
You remember Mary Hartman back in the 70s?
I do.
Remember one of the episodes when she had this friend who was a high school librarian but also was a madam on the CD, and her name was Big Honey, and she had two girls who worked for her named Tippy Toe and Bumblebee, and she would call them out at the truck stop to be what they call the lot lizards.
Oh, my stars. No, I don't remember that. I know what a lot lizard is, yes, but I don't remember that, Jeb.
Mm-hmm.
TV was different in North Carolina.
I remember the intro to that show, but that's about all.
Oh, it was just absolutely crazy. Louise Lasser, I think, was the one who played Mary Hartman, and she was always true to her husband, and the only time she had any type of infidelity, she was in bed with a man who had a coronary, and it just went from one thing to the other.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the thing about...
Over to you, my friend.
Well, I'm gonna hop in for just a second, because I do want to say, yes, this is how rural I live. Actually, back when Mary Hartman was on, wasn't she on NBC, if I recall?
I believe so.
I think so. And you see, there was no NBC channel here. All we had was CBS, and there was no ABC. But you could get 10 sometimes if you pointed your outside antenna toward Albany, Georgia, which is like a long, long way away. So the thing is that you just have no idea how deprived I was. So yeah, I saw her, and Louise Lasser do that, and it was wonderful, but I couldn't watch it regularly, so I did definitely miss that episode. Now back to you, Preston.
Well, a while back you were mentioning a guest you had either last night or recently, who was an actor in Godspell.
It was Joseph's Amazing Technicolor Coat, and perhaps Godspell too. My God, there was a long list. Pacific, Rocky Horror. And I don't have the list in front of me right now.
Well, that just made me think. I was wondering if you and Jim were familiar with that play and like Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I am via soundtrack. Loved them. Seen them though. One day I shall. Before I go, hey, it rhymes, Jim. I can sing too.
But, hey, go ahead. Let's hear it.
No, thank you. I just play disco and smile a lot. Go ahead. Go ahead, Preston.
Well, do you remember that song called The Age of Aquarius?
I do.
Yes.
Okay. The Fifth Dimension. And I hadn't heard that for like 3 decades since I was a kid. And I stumbled upon it again in the most likely place. I was listening to a hip-hop artist from Mexico City, really interesting, progressive guy. Some people are calling him like the Tupac of Mexico. And anyway, he used the beat from not the Age of Aquarius, but the song that kind of follows immediately after it called Let the Sunshine In.
Yeah.
And he uses it in this song of political action, and just beautifully. And I don't know, just when you mentioned Godspell, remembering that song just kind of stirred my memory of a lot of songs and plays that I kind of grew up with, and thinking to a lot of the beautiful music I grew up with, like Cat Stevens. And I don't know. It's just interesting. I didn't catch a lot of Mary Hartman, but I did catch some beautiful plays and stuff. And I used to watch a lot of Love Boat and Fantasy Island too. Actually,
those I could get. Yeah, I could get the trashy stuff. That's what's wrong with me now. And by the way, I have a wonderful. It was a huge dance club hit. It was by a group called Army of Lovers, who redid a dance version of Let the Sunshine In, which is just incredible. I'll upload it to you, and we'll run it tomorrow night.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, no. Peter?
Yes, sir.
Preston? Oh,
yes.
Your friend was also, amazingly, he said he was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
As Frankenfurter, no less.
I couldn't believe it, and I thought, It's so dreamy. Oh, fantasy, free me.
I know it. I know it.
Can't see me.
And
no,
he talked about the heel.
From another dimension, with all your contention, well secluded, I see all.
Yeah, just amazing.
Did you guys just like Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Did you ever see that?
Actually, in a warped, demented way. Now, this was before Pee-wee got any trouble, and there was no anything ulterior, you know, thought about him. Just he was a nutcase. In some twisted way, I kind of liked it. In fact, I will have to admit that occasionally I even watch the Playhouse in the morning.
Great, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I liked who is the woman? The woman with the blonde hair that was it was who was that? What was her name? The Miss Somebody.
I don't remember. I remember Marge was a truck driver. And I don't know, but go ahead.
I don't remember the blonde person. That's she was Miss Somebody, and she was wore the real tight dresses, and she was fairly well built, and I don't know what she was except that she was a hoot.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you.
She was statuesque, as they say, right?
Yes, she was very statuesque, and I have a PM from one of our chatters from Fancy Free. She says my favorite Mary Hartman was the coach had the flu. And was treating it with Jack Daniels. Mary Hartman brought him a bowl of chicken soup, and he drowned it, .. And he drowned... Oh, he drowned in the soup? I thought there was more to... Oh, yeah. And so Mary Hartman guilts out over that, no doubt.
Well, you know, that show, when I saw it, it came on Friday night. And that's the one you watched before you went out. Because you didn't go out until 11, 12 o'clock.
Those are the rules.
You know, going to the Cha-Cha Palace or wherever, or the Dog Pound or whatever you want to call the place.
Right, which is why the DJs had to sit there and play stupid stuff until everybody got there. It was very annoying.
Everybody had to make the entrance, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I came upon another...
Everybody had to vogue in, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you come upon, Preston?
Another gay-related documentary that you might want to watch out for. It's not
Wonderful.
On DVD yet. It's
Pencil
just
buddy.
Coming out in theaters and at small showings at, like, PBS and public libraries and at PFLAG gatherings. But
yeah.
It's called Anyone and Everyone.
Oh, do you know? I heard about that. And I checked Netflix, and in fact, it is not released on DVD, but Netflix allows you to add it to the queue, apparently, it's because they say they're going to get it, they just don't know when. So it's like the arrival date is unknown. So
okay.
It's like in your, yeah. So I'm very curious about that. I can't remember, I must have gotten an emailer on it. And I can't remember why I was so interested in it now, but it was about the gay issues somehow, and worldwide, what was it? How was that?
Yeah, well... The little write-up about it that I'm looking at right now says that anyone and everyone spotlights individuals from all walks of life who have gay sons or daughters, parents from various cultural and religious backgrounds, such as Japanese, Mormon, Bolivian, Catholic, and Cherokee, share intimate accounts of how their children revealed that they're gay or lesbian and discuss their responses. And they also talk about struggling with the pain their sons and daughters have dealt with, such as not being accepted by relatives and or friends and being ostracized by some religious congregations.
Ah, so, that's coming back to me. That it immediately piqued my interest, especially about the differences in the cultures. You mentioned Cherokee and weren't the
Inuit,
the Indians.
Or?
Yeah, Inuit. Starts with an I, yeah.
Or Aleutian.
Yeah, they're listed in that list too, right?
Not in the one I'm looking at, but I think they're just getting a sampling. I'm sure there's probably others.
Probably so. Looked like an incredible movie. I have no idea when it will be released.
Well, I happened to just stumble upon it because I'm within earshot of a community radio station here in Colorado. It was based in Boulder. It still is, and it's been there about 20 years. But recently, they bought a AM radio. not a real powerful one, but still substantially, you know, bigger than a lot. Well, currently they have a 1,300-watt station, and I think the station in Denver is more like 5,000 watts or something. But anyway, they mentioned it. They interviewed the filmmaker and spoke of the organizers of the event. And, you know, that's another thing. Speaking of regeneration, I mean, you see all this mess going on with so much of the media. And I was listening to a guest that Bob had on earlier from Media Matters, and, you know, just how we're so outnumbered in the punditry and stuff like that. But there's this whole other field of communication, you know, the little trees growing up between the rocks, and you know, a lot of people able now to make their own films because there's more access to filming and editing technologies, and a lot of interesting stuff going on where it's definitely not, we are the majority, I think, and a more honest reflection of the population at large. So.
You know, you have a very good point there. And truly, you know, they kept calling themselves a silent majority for so long. You remember, and in reality, it was we who were silent.
Yeah.
And God knows what happened. Everything is topsy-turvy. Something's wrong. It's like mirror world.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's the reason I did the Cole Porter thing. Everything, you know, think about the lyrics of that, you know. Black is white today, day is night today.
Very good, Jeff.
You know,
absolutely, very
good. Really. That was written in 1934.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat those lines?
Go ahead,
Peter,
Jeff. Okay. He was repeating the Cole Porter lyrics and pointing out how I had made the remark that it was like mirror world, and he was repeating the mirror. Black is white today. What is the rest of it? Black is white today. Anything goes. What does it go, Jim? Anything goes.
The world has gone mad today. Good
world
mad
has gone mad
today. Black's white today, and day
black's
night
white
today.
Today.
But most guys
okay.
today, the
there you
guys
go.
Today are just silly gigolos.
Okay, great, great. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Cole Porter and Nina Simone, I think, is somebody else I need to listen more closely to.
Oh, an incredible voice. Incredible. I think she passed away recently.
Did he?
If I'm not mistaken.
Jim thinks he passed away recently. Did he, Preston? Do you know?
Nina Simone did, I think.
Nina Simone did, apparently. I didn't know.
I think so.
This is something that we need Billy
sure.
Shears for. Billy Shears knows all the stuff. We certainly are pockets of information around here.
Although they live on when, I think Cole Porter, and I may be misremembering this, but I think he has a song called Begin the Begin.
Begin the Begin, yes, he did. Absolutely. It was an incredibly beautiful song.
Okay.
And one thing in
well,
honor of him, if I may say that just a second, Preston.
Sure.
That poor man, people think that he lives such a privileged life. However, one day he did go horseback riding, and the horse fell over on him, and it crushed his leg. And he spent the rest of his life having 32 operations before they finally had to amputate.
Wow.
But yet he went on to produce so many beautiful things and made so many incredible contributions in spite of this handicap to the American musical theater. I mean,
that's very much like the Frida Kahlo story.
Exactly, when she was injured in that school bus or that trolley car.
Yep, trolley.
Hooked up with I really like her things a lot better than Diego Rivera, to tell you the truth.
They were an amazing duo, that's for sure. Have you seen the movie about her, Frida?
I have.
I love that movie. I think that's an incredible film.
It is, indeed. And, of course, she was lovers with Leon Trotsky, supposedly. Because Trotsky, I think, had sought haven in Mexico. He had sought haven in Mexico City away from Stalin. Unfortunately, Stalin caught up with him, but nonetheless, or one of his henchmen did. But Frida and Trotsky were friends, and it's a brilliant movie. And I actually have a plate hanging above my dining room. It's a copy of one of the things she did. It's just a sunburst. It's just beautiful.
Great, great. But I did want to mention that, you know, spirits like Porter's and I think our own, they don't die. They remanifest someplace. and REM, that very popular band, they kind of introduced me to Cole Porter, at least his name, because I was reading a book about REM's lyrics, and that they have a song called Begin the Begin, and it was them nodding their hat.
Do you know, I think I may have a copy of that. It's not loaded at the studio, but I think I have a copy of it, and if so, I'll be sure and upload it.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah,
that
they're
great.
Off their CD, Life's Rich Pageant. REM actually had a big political influence on me. I mean, I didn't just enjoy their music, but I kind of explored some of their poetry and their political activism, and a very interesting work, and it continues to this day. Michael Stipe actually was interviewed on Air America a while back and talking about his work with Mercy Corps, and he had recently gone down to New Orleans, and they have a song about Guatemala called The Flowers of Guatemala, and I read an interview with Stipe in Sojourners Magazine where he talks about how that was dealing with U.S. foreign policy in Central America, and just doing a lot of interesting work, that's for sure. Him and allies of his, like the 10,000 Maniacs, Natalie Merchant, the Indigo Girls, you know, they do things like go down to Chiapas and, you know, play music with the people and help
wow.
share their story.
How come I get so many people who know so much about music on this show? It just blows me away.
There are different ends of the spectrum in which we have our concentration.
Well, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. You know, it's just amazing to me that the rich pool of knowledge that when we all go to the big disco up in the sky, it's going to be one big party.
Sounds
we
good.
Have one group that I also have a great deal of, and this is a far cry from what Preston was talking about, was Roxy Music with Brian Ferry, Brian Eno, Phil Manzanera, and Andrew McKay. Those boys put out some good stuff. They really did. They each went on to do a lot of good things. Brian Ferry's still going strong.
Well, it's been a real pleasure speaking with both of you.
Likewise.
And but I think actually I'm going to run and listen to some music myself. I just found some hip hop from the Arab world. Actually, there's a group called the Philistines. And they collaborated on a CD called Fear of an Arab Planet.
Ah.
Nodding their hat to Public Enemy's Fear of a Black Planet. And,
well, listen, before you leave us, I have a question. One of our chatters, I'm in a PM with Fancy Free, she's mentioning an older album of Nina Simone and Friends, and there was a song called The Other Woman that she would just love to hear, and it's probably difficult to find. She doesn't have any. Do you know of the song? Do one of you happen to have it? The Other Woman by Nina Simone and Friends.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. I'll put my ear to the ground. I have contacts and connections. Yes, I do. I shall use them. we'll
Very
find
good.
It for you, Fred. I'm so glad you were able to join us this evening, Preston.
It's my pleasure. And I'll be in touch. And Jim, also look forward to hearing your voice, if not speaking directly with you again in the future.
Thank you, Preston, and I hope you have a very good weekend and enjoy your trip into hip-hop tonight, okay?
I'm looking forward to it, definitely. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, Preston. Well, Jim wanted... that's...
Here we go.
Honey, can you...
He's in the Mile High City there.
I don't know what we just did to you. I mean, that was what we just had. We had Alan, we had Kate, we had Preston, and there was you and I. I just don't think Bob's front porch has seen anything like this.
Well, I think it's great. You know, I need this guy, and this is, and after this, I'm going to let you go because I know you have something you want to pursue. But he was trying to get a job, and he had these resumes he brought over to me, and he was showing them to me, and he said, I just can't get anywhere with this. And it was done on this vellum paper, and it was beautifully typed. And under clubs or volunteer organizations, he had the Mile High Club. And I looked at that, and I said, what do you think this is? And he said, well, I just put it on there because I thought it was some type of thing like the Sierra Club. And I said, who told you to do that? And he said, so-and-so. And I said, well, you take this resume back to so-and-so and tell him where to put it. I said, do you know what the Mile High Club is? And he said, no, not really. I said, that's people who've had sex in airplanes, you fool. He said, well, no wonder they were laughing at me when I brought it in and they put it on their desk and showed me the door. Poor guy. He actually had that on his resume.
Oh, my stars.
He sure
yeah,
did.
They would have Yeah, it depends on the job you're looking for, I would assume, but I can't think of too many that would color that in with a positive color.
Well, I know they thought he must have been certainly a free spirit to put that on his resume. But anyway, listen, I've enjoyed tonight's conversation, and I'm going to turn the program back over to you and wish you a nice weekend. And
just so you know, we're still straightening some things out of the front porch connection. And normally we won't have the same channel thing, but we're getting as time goes by, we're fixing up the porch, honey. That's what we're doing. So we'll try it again.
Okay. Good night, Peter.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad you called.
Good
night. Oh, my stars. I have a song for this. I do. I have a song for this, and I'm going to dedicate it to Kate, and to Preston, and to Alan, and I'm going to dedicate it to Jim, and I'm going to dedicate it to all of our faithful chatters, and our chat room moderators, and all of our electric listeners. I won't bother to tell you the name of the track, but it's by Giorgio Moroder, and you've heard him before. You have heard him since 1940. If you live close enough to him, I imagine he started playing music in 1940. He was born in Italy. But if you didn't hear him in 1940, you've heard him in many movies. And his list of credits going forever. But it is an absolute perfect song for what we just did. And, well, I guess I have to say the name of the song, or Agnes won't know which one to play. So I got to give it away. So let's go ahead and run the Hot Tracks remix, dedicated to all of you, called Electric Dreams. Thank you. And we're back. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. And if you have unlimited long distance, 304-658-3333. It is a Friday evening, so speak now or forever hold your peace. I have good news for our chatter. Fancy Free, Billy Shears has rode in this evening. He wrote, we loaned him the Strictly Confidential horse. And Billy is going to be providing us with a absolute genuine copy of Nina Simone and Friends singing The Other Woman. I am pleased to tell you that we get stuff fast around here because we know people. And thank you so much, Billy Shears. We'll have that on air Monday. We absolutely will. And speaking of Billy, Billy will be running the show tomorrow evening, and that is from 9 until 12 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network. It is fabulous stuff. I've been able to stop in a couple of Saturday evenings, and the chat room is active, and the music is wonderful. And you really, if you have not stopped in to this network and stopped by the chat room for the Billy Shears show from 9 till midnight, you really are missing something, because the music is just, the man, there's nothing. I mean, you know, you mentioned an obscure song, Nina Simone and Friends. Okay, you know, no problem. And the man's magic, Billy Shears. And in fact, the whole network's full of magic people. I don't know where we all come from. Truck stops. We used to all work at truck stops. That's where we came from. We have John Fox and Bob Kincaid, and we have Ben Birch, we have Billy Shears, and all the other hosts. We have the moderators, and you know, absolute, it's just amazing. You know, I'll go ahead and say it. I can say it. Everybody knows I'm crazy. It's a miracle. I honestly say this network is a miracle. This could not have come about the way we all fell together. It could not have come about in any other way. I defy you to create circumstances that pull this thing together. I just can't be done. Now, having said that, I want to fill in a couple of little gaps about the Dr. Rice story, as we were so gently informed by our dear friend Kate. A couple of little things I wanted to mention that really ticked me off about this. Comes from SLD, and you know, we had them, I guess we had and Lord, I don't have her name in front of me, it's an unusual name, but anyway, she was one of the she's an attorney for SDLN, and we talked with her about all the things that the military goes through. You see, they have approached her many times, the SDLN, and they were requested to meetings to talk to Secretary Rice and to the National Security Advisor, the whole upper level. But, of course, the requests were never granted. And, of course, Steve Rowles from SLD, and he says that, to the best of his knowledge, the Secretary of State, meaning Dr. Rice, has never made a public statement regarding Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You see, they remain silent about it in public so as not to address or attract any attention. The other thing that got to me is that she's been pleaded with many times at the State Department to rebuke Iran for hanging gay teenagers or anybody else gay that they can get their hands on. Now, we've talked about the extermination of GLBT folks. They called on her again. We called her in 2005 to condemn their human rights abuses, and this was the Human Rights Campaign that did it then. And the State Department remains silent. As long as they've got their caviar in the limo, as long as she stood right by the president's side while he, you know, anti-gay discrimination side by side, you got to be one of their favored gay folk, lesbian folk, to get in amongst that group. It looks like Foley won't be prosecuted, by the way. You remember Foley, the page guy, the dirty letters to the page? Remember I told you several days ago that the Florida Department of Law Enforcement was pretty upset because they could not close out the case because the Senate was refusing to turn over, the Congress was refusing to turn over his computers so that they could investigate these letters to the 17-year, the emails to the 17-year-old page. With sexual content. And I think we have the answer as to why they wouldn't turn them over. Now we have the answer. Florida is now not going to see. He lives in Florida. Florida is now not going to prosecute the case at all because it has gone past the period of time. A 3-year statute of limitation. And these go back a little way, so they drug their feet. Florida, the politicians, the Republicans have known about this for years. They've known about Foley for years. But Florida didn't start to investigate. They could have pointed out, but then the scandal broke. Then Florida delayed looking into it until November of 2006. The letter was to the 17-year-old that's in question that they will not turn over to the state of Florida, which is in those computers, was sent to the 17-year-old in the year 2003. So you see, now we're in 2007, and Florida's saying, oh, and by the way, you're too late. That's how Republicans work. So Foley is not going to have a problem at all. He'll be back. Maybe he's ruining Congress, but he'll be back. Yes, he will be back. You know, we had a request track tonight. I don't think it's that long. I wonder if I have time to fit that in. If it's 49... Nope, no time to fit it in. We'll do the request another evening. In fact, there are a couple of requests tonight, but we had much more fun than playing those. Oh, I have found something. We had caller Jim on earlier. If you recall, I think it's late enough in the program that I can get away saying this. If you'll recall, Jim pointed out that South Carolina has red-breasted South Carolina... Oh, do I dare say it? It's CS. What Republicans do in restrooms. You can imagine. Okay, so anyway, caller Jim, we have spotted one of those. I have spotted a genuine red-breasted South Carolina CS, and in fact it is Lindsey Graham. That is all bursting forth right now. We have another Republican who's about to go down the tubes. It's been going on for years. In fact, he was running for office, and one of the folks said, they were talking about Senator Strom Thurmond, one of the chair people in Congress, said, well, Graham, he's just a little too light in the loafers to fill Strom Thurmond's shoes, and then later claimed he didn't know what too light in the loafers meant. And he's 52. He's a lifelong bachelor. The rumor's been going around for years, but now that this is all falling down, more and more people are getting interested in it. Their GQ magazine actually asked Graham recently if he was gay, and he said, "No, I'm not gay. I'm just a loner." Yeah. And Signorelli Michael Signorelli is pointing an accusing finger at Graham and other people. It looks like the people, in other words, since all this is falling down, there are a number of people in the blogosphere who are going to be taking a very close look at the red-breasted South Carolina CS. And one of the problems they summarize in this little article is that in South Carolina they prefer to talk about their controversies and their little scandals over cocktails at 5 p.m. than to put it in the newspaper. So anyway, just another one that's going to be going soon. Bye-bye. And I was so glad to hear this. This is a nice story that happened. Nobody got beat up, and the good guys won and everything. It's a food chain, food shops, like a convenience store. It's Tedeschi, and they are actually in I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, they're in Massachusetts, home of gay marriage and John Kerry. Well, they fired a food clerk at a convenience store. The store's a Jamaica Plain location. Apparently, a couple went into the store very late one evening. They were on their way home. One of the women wanted a juice drink, it says here. And they walked in the store, and they were waiting in line in the store, and there was somebody ahead of them. They had their juice drink. Somebody was ahead of them. And so they were just like arms around each other's shoulders, and they were just sort of like swaying back and forth to the music, you know, like I do during the show. I'm always chair dancing, and who knows what was playing on the speakers in the store. Well, that said the tale, only I would wonder what they were swaying to. They never cover that part, damn it. They just never do. I want to know what made them dance. So anyway, the convenience store clerk went absolutely nuts. Get out of the store. We can't have you doing that kind of behavior in here. You're not allowed to do that. Let's see, what were some of the other choices? Called them some sexually explicit names. I said, you two get out of this store. You're acting like you're in a porn film. And I'm, oh, and you're going to love this. This is a direct quote. And I'm not going to service you. Honey, as if you had a chance. You see, that's what the problem is all along, is he was ticked off because the women were happy amongst themselves, and he wasn't going to be able to service them. He did not say serve. He said service. Well, being the American-born and bred lesbians that they were, they refused to step out of line, God bless them. Yes, they would not step out of line. So the clerk continued to serve customers, and so while they were standing in line, a heterosexual couple got behind them. Now, this couple was also being physically affectionate. They were holding hands, they were resting their heads on each other's, you know, how they do, you know, tilt the head the side by side, and, you know, the music, and, you know, what I'm saying, you know. Same thing. Absolutely no difference. And the cashier made no effort to break up. It was like, it's just amazing. Same behavior, but not a blink. Not a blink. And it was totally innocent standing in line in the store. So it was merely a matter of public affection. Anyway, the people in the store were absolutely appalled. I mean, this is Massachusetts, by the way. You know, it's a far more progressive state than we live in. I live in down here. So in any case, so the people in the store followed them out. And instead of beating the hell out of them, which I have another story that goes that way for a couple of lesbians in another state, they gave them their names and phone numbers. And the store is pronounced Tedeschi's. One of our Massachusetts listeners tells me, Tedeschi's. And instead of going out and beating the hell out of them, as is my other story, they went out and gave them their telephone numbers and told them they were highly embarrassed by the whole thing. And, just to see a couple go through that. So, in fact, this chain store, in fact, I got to give them credit. They fired the guy. Not only that, the company said that they had been running classes in the past. What do you call those classes? Not an anti-harassment class, but I don't have it in front of me. It's, you know, where you learn to, you know, be tolerant of other employees, that, you know, that sort of training, sensitivity training, perhaps. And they had been doing that with all their employees. It's not like this company didn't give a damn. They actually were trying to prevent this in their stores. But apparently this guy was smoking in the boys' room the day that this particular lesson came down the pike. And, of course, the employee was telling the store that they were doing all kind of horrible things. Anyway, they disproved that with the security camera video. They went back and played it, and just like they said, he was horrible to them and refused to serve them. And in fact, the couple of women, there was a straight couple that said, look, just give me the money, I'll buy it for you. Okay. And the cashier refused to take the money for the juice drink from a straight person because it was lesbian money. We can't have no lesbian money, cultural sensitivity. Thank you. That's what the course was. You know, without Chad, I could not do this program. It's just not possible. So in any case, he refused to take the money from the straight. I mean, it was just, you know, discrimination with a vengeance. So good for you, Tedeschi's. I think Tedeschi's is wanting to say that they didn't think it was an act of